broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
He did.
That means I don't want to hear you talking about it.
Well, we're on the air now, okay?
What?
We're on the air right now.
I understand you're on the air, Phil. But I don't want to hear any more out of you about how the music is this and this and that and this and that. Just do the show.
I'm doing the show, okay? I'm doing the show so much that I got talking to you now and we're on the air.
I wouldn't be on the air with you right now if it wasn't important. The Dow went down 520 points and, you know.
Well, that's, you know, frankly, that's not my problem. It's your problem.
Okay, so I got my money tied. Don't you have money in stocks?
Yeah, but it's my retirement. I ain't taking it out now.
Forget it.
So he wants to keep talking right to the top of the hour. Anyway, very pleasant. Good evening. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That was David G. Hall, our vice president of syndication. He's flipping out over the stock market. He's flipping out over my big mouth. He's just flipping out, man. Because, well, I guess he's got reasons to flip out. But we're going to try to keep our cool here in the midst of, well, this is a very hot evening, isn't it, Bud? And we also have to get the fans going, but we don't get the fans going. And by fan, I don't mean the fans on the phone.
You're talking about the one that blows the air.
Yeah, this one, that fan, the one that blows the air, right. We'll get that going in a moment. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, where you can look at live streaming video of our show each and every night on Phil TV in HD. And you can also get our archives, and you can also get our daily podcast, and you can also look at our news feed, and you can get our classic Phil podcasts. And you can watch, you can look at Bobby Dooley's blog, Ms. Dooley, who we just had on the air, also Ted Bell's blog. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Joining us from Glendale, California is Vernon Dozier, a member of the board at Belmar Academy. He's also the athletic coach there, the head varsity football coach, as well as the coach of the girls' soccer team, and primary history and math teacher of the junior class. And science and economics in the senior class?
That's pretty good, Phil. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. I by now, I should have your resume memorized, Vernon.
Well, I've been on the program. I've been on the program a lot, I can tell you that. We're very grateful for the interest, Phil. We really are.
You have an interesting program coming up, getting the kids ready for the school year. Not only for the academic year, but also for the athletic year. But you have to juggle an awful lot. You're the football coach, and you're the girls' soccer coach.
The football team is the one that takes up primarily most of the month of August. Phil, as you know, in football, you have your. We're going to do our 2-a-days later on in the month,
and something that's traditionally called Hell Week.
Hell Week is even more than 2-a-days. But we'll put the pads on that week, that's for sure. We'll have two workouts that week, and we put people through their paces. We also have the soccer season eventually, and I have to stagger that because I don't have time for the intensive training for soccer during the school year that I have for football because the football training falls in the summertime.
And the girls' soccer season starts when?
That's in December.
So you're also tied up as in the classroom, so a lot of the preparation is done in the summer?
A lot of the mental preparation is done in the summertime. And so we talk about team bonding. We talk about the T1 experience, which is team is number one, and the team bonding experience, which is T2. So we have team is number one, but bonding with each other, that becomes number two. Myself, along with our coaches who put together the regimen in the month of August, we'll begin our T1 with the girls' soccer team. And that's a very interesting and kind of a fun time. We do one-on-one. And what we want to do is get into the heads of these girls and get into the mindset of these players, and we want to know, just exactly where their heads are. We want to get all the distractions aside, and we want to get all the worry aside, and just get one on one with this. Our 2-a-days in football.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
I wanted to stay on soccer here for a minute.
All right.
Tell me a little bit more about this because I don't know. When you're talking about getting into the heads of the soccer players, are you talking about on the practice field?
No, you're talking more about a psychological preparation for the season, and that is something that requires our T1, which is team number one, TB2, team ball two, and that is the one-on-one. And then T3, which is tier three level, and that's when we begin the actual practice. So you have these three levels. T-ball one or T-ball two is T-ball T1, and then T-ball two is...
Well, you know, let's just call it T2.
All right. T2 is when... Well, you can't really call it T2 because that's a different... I just say that it's what we call mental preparation. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous, Phil.
You're doing mental preparation or mental preparedness?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. And it's impressive how you can do that.
Do what?
Well, you mental preparation. You said it real good. I can't.
Well, I'm a professional. I mean, I'm on the air every night, so it's. Coach, God bless the teachers of the world. You're one of them. You guys do a far tougher job. You have a far more important job, you know, than anything I would do.
Well, I don't know, Phil. You keep a lot of people entertained every night. I sure do appreciate that.
All right. Well, but look, let's talk more here now about preparing the soccer team. How do you do that? When you're talking about this one-on-one,
yeah.
This is the one-on-one mental preparation?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Well, at TB1 or T-ball 1 is the coach, in that case it'd be me. I spend time with each player one-on-one. Each player has my individual attention one-on-one. And I want it to be a full sequestered experience, if you will. I don't mean that in a literal sense, but we go to dinner.
You go to dinner who?
Me and the player. I take them to dinner. We go to go down to Maestro's Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. You give the girls an experience. They enjoy that. I pick them up in a town car.
Is it a limousine?
Well, let's call it a town car.
And why that?
Because I don't want any distraction driving the car. I don't want any distractions. We want to be one-on-one. Tell me about how do you see soccer this year? And what is your place? Now, this stays. This kind of concentration stays all the way through the ride to the restaurant. I know some of the managers there at Maestro's, so generally I get a very nice table there in the wine room. And that is, again, Phil, every single thing is focused on the player. And so from the time we get into that, the time she gets into the town car, until the time the evening ends, I've been in her face about soccer. She may have gotten a porterhouse for two. I've seen girls do that. And it. I don't know that I like to see it. I don't like to see a woman order a porterhouse for two and then say, you know, I want to eat all of this. It bothers me.
What do you mean? That's a porterhouse for two? That's a big...
Yeah, it's a very big order.
A porterhouse, at Maestro's, that's a lot of, what is that, man, 50 ounces?
Yeah, it's about 50 ounces of steak. And you see a woman, a little girl, a senior high schooler, and she's going to say, yeah, give me the porterhouse for two, and no, I'm not sharing it. I get a little bit worried. First of all, I'm paying for it, but that's not why I'm worried. I'm worried because I'm paying for it, and she's going to just go ahead and eat all of that herself, and there's no real recognition of what I've done. See, I want teamwork, Phil. I want teamwork. So when we bring our seniors out, our soccer players out, and we go out to the TB1 evening, you know, where we do the full sequestering. And
all right, you're using a lot of terms here, Coach. I want people to know that what you're talking about is going out to dinner, really.
No, it's not going out to dinner. It is much more than that.
All right, well, it is an evening of very intensive focus on soccer. And while you are focusing on soccer, you're in a town car, you're going to Maestro's Steakhouse. Okay, that's that much is right.
Yes, that is correct. But we, at every single solitary step of the way, it's soccer. How do you feel about it, you know? And she may say, can I get a dessert? And I'll say, you know, hold on. I just asked you a question about soccer. And already you want to look for the dessert? See, so I'm trying to...
So it's not, you know, it's not a very... it's not designed to be a pleasant experience.
No, not at all. It's designed to be an intensive training exercise.
All right.
So, you know, it's soccer. So she'll say, can I get the apple pie for dessert? And I'll say, what did you just say to me? And she'll ask the apple pie. And I'll say, You know something? That proves to me that you're not going to be worth, you're not going to be worth, excuse my language, Phil, hot dog stuff to this team. When you say, can I get some dessert?
Well, isn't this as a kid, okay? She's there at a restaurant, a steakhouse. She's just had this nice meal. She's got a dessert menu in front of her. Isn't she going to say, oh, wow, can I get some pie? You know,
I understand that, but I need more than that for my soccer team, okay? You know the record that our varsity football team has got. I want to match that with our girls' soccer. I want to go all the way to the top.
Well,
all the way to the top, Phil. All the way to the top. I'm not talking about halfway to the top. I'm not talking about a quarter of the way up the top. I'm not saying getting three-quarters of the way and then getting out, stretching, having a cigarette, and get back in. I'm talking about all the way, nonstop, until your heart blows up in your chest. That's how motivated I am.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. Now, the one thing I didn't mention to you, you did say to me beforehand that the parents have no problem with this.
No, they don't have a problem with it. I had a couple of parents say to me, isn't this inappropriate? And I said, I got to tell you, I said, I'm going to let it go this time.
Well, what did that mean?
Well, they offended me very when they said, isn't it inappropriate for you to be taking our daughter? And I said, whoa. And they said, no, isn't it inappropriate? I said, you know what I'm going to do? Because I happen to feel good today, because the sun's up, and because I know God and my wife love me, I'm going to let that go. But I can tell you, second time, we're going to do a dance.
Well, I don't know what that means. I mean, if a parent...
I'll tell you what it means.
Well, no, if a parent says, now, you're going out to take my daughter to a steak dinner, she's a minor, and you're the coach, and that's fine. Can we ask about that? You're saying what?
I'm saying I've had a couple of people, and just a couple, because most parents, when I say to parents at our school, let me just say this. Our school is one of the top academic schools in the state. And when I say to a parent, here's what I'd like to do, they know that if they're going to say something in protest, they got one foot in it. And basically, I said, you want to put the other one in too? Go ahead and ask me something else.
Are you intimidating these people? Are you?
No, Phil, no, not at all. Most of the parents are fine with it. Every now and then, you get a couple that want to cause trouble. But most of the parents are fine with it.
All right, we're going to talk with Vernon Dozier some more when we come back about the girls' soccer team at Belmore Academy and how they prepare for the season. One of the things they do is what he calls the one-on-one sequestered experience. They go out to dinner, and he picks the girl up in a town car. They go to a steakhouse. This total focus, even insofar as, not letting her order dessert until she talks soccer. We'll get into it more. And the parents complaining about it, apparently, there aren't that many. Coach Dozier is pretty much put the lid on anything that may even smack of protest. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we're on here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. We're talking about the preparation for the school year and athletics for the school year. And we talked a little bit, Vernon, about, for instance, your football team. We talked about the two-a-days. I know we talked about the girls' softball. Girls' soccer is something that seems to, the planning for this seems to take place off the field.
Oh, not entirely, Phil.
Well, I don't mean entirely, but there is planning that goes on. You're doing a psychological type of training.
That's it, exactly. We're doing a psychological evaluation of each girl. And what we do is we take these girls out in the town car, as I mentioned. You said a limousine. I think when you say limousine, it sounds as if we're trying to, we're trying to do something that's inappropriate.
Well, is it a limousine?
It, It is a, technically, it's a limousine, but I don't really want to talk about it being a limousine because it makes it sound as if this is some sort of excuse me for saying this, and I don't want to put it as powerfully as this, but it sounds like we're talking about some sex adventure.
And no, well, you know, I understand. You're a teacher.
I am a teacher, and I resent violently, and I'm going to say it again, I resent violently someone thinking that I'm picking a girl up in a limousine to take her off and to despoil her or otherwise have some wild sex adventure when all I want to do is take her for a steak dinner, treat her with respect. After we get done, you were asking me, you know, how does the evening go? Well, I mean, we talk soccer, even to the point where she says, I'd like a piece of pie, told you.
And I know, yeah, I understand that.
So, you know, and then we go to, give you an example, we go to LAX, Los Angeles International Airport. You can see the planes taking off and landing from that one limousine parking lot where a lot of the limousines go. And we get in there because we are in a limousine. And so, but that's not to say, again, that I'm taking some high school senior on a sex tour, on one of these Southeast Asian sex tours. I get very angry when people intimate that.
Well, nobody, I don't think anybody was saying a Southeast Asian sex tour. I think that all we're talking about...
Well, then what are they talking about?
Well, all anybody would be talking... Well, you're the one that said you had a few complaints.
I had some parents complain, but you know, I've been at that school long enough, and I've got enough parents in my... Most parents understand that if they are going to cause problems for me, then they can take their daughter and take her out of our soccer program just as quick as they shoved her into it. I don't care. I've got enough very talented young ladies. I don't need it. Don't want it. Can't use it. Which is the mother calling up and starting in on me. 7:30 in the morning. 8 o'clock. I've barely had my coffee. I've put down my orange juice. I drive to school every morning, Phil, generally driving with one hand on the wheel because I am. And I'm very ashamed of myself for doing this, but I am in such... I'm always backed up. I'm texting with one hand. I'm drinking coffee. I'm having an egg muffin. I forget they call the thing egg muffin sausage, you know, the ones that you get.
You mean like a sausage McMuffin?
No, not a sausage. What do they call the one that's called a muffin egg or a muffin on an egg?
You're talking about an egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin, there you go.
Yeah, the McDonald's?
Yes. So I'm driving to the school every morning, and generally that's what I'm doing. I've got a muffin on a egg muffin. I've got a coffee. I've got an orange juice. I'm texting. I'm driving with my knees because I'm putting in. All of this is extremely dangerous. I know that. I'm aware of that, and that's not anything I want to see my students do. But that's how busy I am, you see. Now, on top of that, what happens? Here comes a mother or a father. The phone rings. It's 7:45. I haven't even had my coffee, and they start in. And it's almost as if it's a leaf blower or some other kind of machine. That's how redundant and unbelievably it can be very, very, I tell you, Phil, it can be debilitating. It can hurt. It can literally hurt. And so I've often said to people, I'll give you an example here. I've got, here is a, this is just a blender. And this is something that I use to make myself a Brandy Alexander or some drink. That, you know, some of my friends think it's very effeminate that I drink a Brandy Alexander. And I don't care because I know I'm 100% man. And I got a wife that's 30 years younger than me to prove it. So I don't need to impress anybody over the fact that I drink a Brandy Alexander. But here is what... You hear that? You hear that, Phil?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the parent that calls up in the morning. So I'm having my muffin or that egg muffin that you talk about, that you've so described it. And then, hello, this is Coach Dozier. Well, you know, Phil, after a few mornings of that, what would you do? What would you like to do?
Well, after a few mornings of that, what would I like to do?
Yeah, what would you do?
I guess I'd unplug the blender.
You'd unplug the blender. There you go. Attaboy. You'd unplug the blender. And that's what I have to do after I hear from these parents over and over again. I've got on. You know that I'm standing on the side of a highway right now because I want to talk to you and only you, and I want to give you my undivided attention. And as a result of that, I pulled off on the side of a freeway. And
well, I would suggest you get back in your car and move it off the freeway.
No, I'm not going to do that. I am here talking to you, giving you my undivided attention. That's what I want from my soccer players. Are you ready for the season? Gee, this is a really nice restaurant, Mr. Dozier. Gee, I said, you know something? You're done. You're done. I might as well turn around and take her back to her parents' house. But I have devoted an awful lot to that evening. And that means that if she's not going to play soccer, by God, I'm going to get the cost of that steak out of her somehow.
And hold on for just a minute. What the hell is he talking about now?
I don't know. I'll check in the break. Maybe.
No, don't check in the break. I'll ask him. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
At the Porterhouse for two.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-7445. We are talking with Vernon Dozier from the Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, about the preparation for soccer season. Now, you know that we talked to you a couple of weeks ago concerning the cups that the female baseball players were wearing, right?
I remember that conversation, Phil, and I told you then that there are certain things that have to be done. Now are you trying to say that there?
Before you allow me to just say this, you know.
No, but what are you trying to say?
Let me say this. I'm saying that there is a perception. There is a perception that
there's a perception that I'm getting into a limousine with an underage girl.
There's a perception you're getting into a limousine with an underage girl, and that there might be something inappropriate intended.
Okay, I got that story from a bunch of parents 2 years ago, and I said to them, now you listen to me, and you listen real good. And I was talking to the fathers, too, because those are the ones that you want to neutralize them, because a lot of those guys, you get a lot of hero types. And you know what I mean by a hero type. You know, he's going to say to me, hey, you ain't going to, you know, do my, you know, nothing with my daughter. And I said, let me tell you what. I saw your daughter, okay? She's about, looks like 300 pounds of bacon oil.
And oh, come on, man. You're not talking to a father of a girl that way.
Well, this is what this guy's got on his mind. You know,
and is the mother there?
Sometimes the mother's there. I don't bring this stuff up, Phil.
And what about the appropriateness of talking to a parent that way?
Well, I'm trying to tell you. You said to me, how do I defend myself against perception that something inappropriate's going on? So, in other words, you're trying to tell me that if I get into a Lincoln Town Car, and
well, you said it's a limousine.
All right, a Lincoln Town. It's a town car. It's a limousine. Yeah, I get into a Lincoln limousine. All right. I take a girl down to Maestro's Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. Then we go watch the airplanes take off.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, okay. I mean just exactly what I said, yeah. What else happens?
Nothing else happens.
I'm not talking about anything inappropriate, just what else do you do?
I put a blanket down on the hood of the car, and we lay on the hood of the car, and we look at the planes taking on and off. It's what you do when you're trying to bond with one of your players, and I'm saying to her, where's your head right now? And a lot of times they'll say, I'm thinking about these jets landing. I said, that's not, you just blew it. Right there you blew it. Because even though I've got you laying here looking at jets landing, I want you thinking soccer. Now what are you thinking? She'll say she's thinking about, you know, this or that, something having to do with, okay, you know, sometimes, you know, isn't this romantic? And
oh, God, you're going to make me throw up, okay?
What is that supposed to mean?
What do you mean, isn't this romantic?
No. Are you talking about... She's not,
is she talking about you?
I don't... She'll say if she was with her boyfriend, something like that. The point I'm trying to make is I'll say, okay, right there you blew it. Because if she's bringing up her boy... No, she's talking about her boyfriend. You feel better?
I mean, I just don't think any kind of conversation like that around a kid that's going to be playing soccer is appropriate.
Thank you. Duly noted. Duly noted, Mr. Henry. I'm very grateful that you... God! See, once again, Phil, if you were one of those parents and you were there... That's what you sound like to me.
Well, I'm sorry that I sound like that to you, because that would be my concern. I'd be concerned most with... Okay, so there, you're making the same point they made...
I can't hear you, what?
You're making the same point they made last hour with God Save the King. Is that it?
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're babbling now.
You're making the same point that they made last hour with God Save the King. Every time I talk, you decide that you go, there it is.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So even if I'm asking a question of you, as the coach of my daughter's soccer team...
That's what it sounds like.
How do you communicate with parents?
What?
How do you communicate with the parents?
I communicate with the parents this way. I say to them, here's how we're going to play it. Your daughter wants to be on my soccer team. That's great. In order for her to be on my soccer team, I have to vet her in some way. So that means that I've got to get into her head, and that's where we do our sequestering. Now, I will take her out for a steak dinner in a limousine. We'll lay on the hood of the car. We'll look at the jet's landing. If I feel that there needs to be more focus, then we're going to have to do that. Now, I'm not saying that I would ever do this. I'm a teacher. I would never, ever do this. But let's just say, for instance, I was a college soccer coach, and it wasn't illegal for me to have a relationship with one of my players. Even in the middle of the act, I would say, where's your head now? And if she said, well, I'm thinking about sex, I'd say, get out of here. Get out of this bed and get out of my house. That's how strongly I feel.
You know what? You sound like you've got a mental problem.
Oh, here we go again.
No, well, I mean, here we go again. You're telling me you're making love to a woman, and you ask her, where's your head now? And if she says, well, about making love, and you say, get out of my house?
If she is a soccer player, if it was legal for me to have sex with one of my soccer players, what I'm saying. And in the middle of sex, I said to her, where is your head right now? And she said, I'm thinking about sex. I would say, get out of my house. Oh, well, listen to the funny man laughing.
I'm telling you, man, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Listen to the funny man laugh.
I'm not the funny man. You're the guy that brought up this idea. And so I guess that means she's not focusing, huh?
Well, what do you think? I have, Mr. Henry, one role in life, and that is to be an athletic coach and to be the best one I can be and to be the best Division XII coach that there's ever been at this school. And that means winning football championships, soccer championships, baseball championships, swimming championships, water polo championship, gymnastic championship, fencing championship, and all of those. In fact, I want to win so many championships it comes out championship. And that's why we have on the wall 12 consecutive Division XII championships. And the kids thought that was funny because I would say it so fast it would come out championship.
I don't understand. What do you mean championship?
If I say a lot of... You're not listening to me, are you?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
If I say championship, if I say championships real fast... It's...
All right, okay, I understand. So,
Well, you blew that one off, didn't you? Boy, talk about disrespect.
Hey, you're the guy that's going out in a limousine with girls and having a steak dinner and laying on the hood of the car, and if I could have sex with them, you're walking right up to an edge that we talked about the last time you were on the show. And
we talked about jock straps the last time I was on the show.
No, we weren't. We were talking about athletic cups.
Right, same difference.
No, not the same difference. First of all, you're talking about a kind of an athletic cup or an athletic protector that girls wear, and that you were testing to see whether they were wearing one by putting your hand down their shorts.
And seeing if the cup... You turn everything into filth. And that's the thing that I resent more than anything else about doing these broadcasts. You turn it all into filth. And I think there comes a time, Phil, where we have to say to parents, I'm through saying things and doing things so that your filthy minds can be satiated. I'm going to do something now for myself. I'm going to coach a girl's soccer team. And that's all I'm going to do. And yes, if it was a college team and I was having a relationship with one and I was having sex with her, if she said she was thinking about sex, I'd tell her, you get your ass out of my house. Don't ever, ever come here again.
And she'd think you were about as goofy as can be and as nutty. You belong in a straitjacket, and she'd be right.
I don't see anything I said that's...
If you're having sex with a woman, he'd say, what are you thinking about now? Sex, get out of my house and never come back.
I want her to be thinking about soccer.
Vernon Dozier, good luck there, Coach Dozier. The only thing that I wish is that we were covering the games here on the Phil Henry Show. Maybe we should get a live broadcast team. All right, we're going to come back here with other news tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, including our news and information hour. We thank Coach Dozier this evening, and Bobby and Steve Dooley lay on the hood of the car. What are you thinking about? Planes landing? No. Nuh-uh. Wrong. You should be thinking about soccer. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have our News and Information Hour coming up. We'll get into it a little early here tonight, though. The big news, well, not the big news. You know what? There's all kinds of big news. I don't know where to start. There's London. There's the stock market. There's this. There's that. There's something else. And, you know, one of the things about news is you think that this is what's going on. This is not what's going on. This is not what's going on. What's going on is what's happening in your life. That's what's really happening. The rest of this is fantasy land. It's happening, but you're hearing about it through me. You're hearing about it through some chump talk show host, you know, that you listen to. You're hearing about it through the news guy. You begin to perceive as reality whatever they tell you on Fox or CNN. You think that's what's going on. Well, no, it isn't. That's all that the only thing you can see is what they're telling you. Like, for instance, Anderson Cooper is in Somalia tonight. Well, I guess it's all happening in Somalia. He's got Dan Rivers in Birmingham, England. But that guy's just cutting in with a few reports. Most of the stuff that we're seeing tonight from Anderson Cooper is Somalia. I'm not saying that's a bad report. That's a great report. But if that's news, that's where it's happening, Somalia. Now, some people will say, well, he's a liberal. Well, I don't care if he's a liberal or not. That's a big news operation. They're devoting an enormous amount of time to Somalia. Maybe that's what's going on. In Ohio, a Cleveland jury on Wednesday recommended that convicted serial killer Anthony Soule be sentenced to death. Well, that's going on in Ohio. This guy had 11 bodies laying around his house. He's 51 years of age, convicted by the same jury of killing 11 women. He was handcuffed. He was wearing an orange jumpsuit. He's an ex-Marine. He stood emotionless because if you saw this guy's kisser, it is as psychopathic as anything you've ever seen in your life. The courtroom was filled with family members of the victims. Some cried openly. Others showed little or no emotion. As he left the courtroom, he nodded his head slightly in the direction of the family members. Once he was gone and the jurors dismissed, family members broke out in applause, hugged the prosecutors, and cried some more. Prosecutor Rick Bombeck told jurors he never intended to allow Soule to plead and receive life in prison. In the history of this town, there's nothing to compare to this crime. This was a story that had to be told. And what happened was this guy Soule, when they finally found this guy, you got to understand, this is as gruesome as it gets in the annals of serial murder. As gruesome as it gets. And criminologists and forensic psychiatrists will tell you that there is the organized serial killer and the disorganized serial killer, or the organized killer and the disorganized killer. An organized psychopath was like Ted Bundy. He was organized. He had a place where he would kill them. Or Gary Ridgway, even better. Gary Ridgway had a certain place he knew to go to kill them, and he knew how to dispose of the body here, and he would take time off from killing if he thought the heat was on or if his life got into a different direction, and so on and so forth. Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, he was organized. Then you have these disorganized, almost seemingly psychotic individuals, but in point of fact, they're just disorganized, almost like a different kinds of vampires, you know? Did you ever read those Anne Rice books?
Yeah, sort of one about the interview with on a vampire.
Interview on a vampire?
You mean interview with a vampire?
Yeah. Well, like in that book, she had these very meticulous kinds of vampires, like Vampire Lestat, and he was meticulous, and he'd been alive for 500 years, and he knew exactly how to kill him and what he was doing and this and that, right?
Yeah.
And then he had the one like Lewis. And Lewis was so screwed up in the head. He was like a
manic. He was like a depressed vampire.
Yeah, he was a depressed vampire. He didn't really want to kill people, and he drank the blood of animals, and he was all jacked up, you know.
Yeah, you would have been better off just sucked on the blood of a person instead of a dog.
Probably, you know. But nonetheless, I don't know. What the hell am I saying? So then you had like the Richard Ramirez's. Richard Ramirez is a serial killer, but not very organized, very sloppy and crazy acting frankly, he was very easy to track down. Once they finally, you know, got their heads wrapped around this thing, it's what the hell is going on? There's people being attacked, this and that. Well, then we have this guy Anthony Soule, or Sewell, or Sowell, or whatever. And you hear what the prosecutor said. He said, in the history of this town, there's nothing to compare to this crime. After the verdicts, the jury members spoke to reporters but asked that their names not be used. When asked if Sowell's testimony on the stand had any effect on their decision, they said it made it worse. So this guy Sowell took the stand, which you don't usually see these people do. Said juror number 12, the jury foreperson, he should have remained silent. The juror also told reporters he gave us a lot of eye contact, which was unwarranted. I was offended. He winked at me. There you go. That's a serial murderer who wants to control, and because they're psychopathic, they want to control the people around them in the situation. Sowell, during his guided testimony during the sentencing hearing, talked about the effect of a 2007 heart attack, and defense argued that as well as an earlier head injury may have led to mental problems. We know that head injuries have played a role in psychopathic attacks. Head injuries played a role in turning a personality into that kind of mass murderer or serial murderer. And that's what Dr. Stone was telling us, that these head injuries, they can trace, you know.
Who's that guy, the one guy that Casey, what's his name?
Trainer, was that his name?
Yeah, I mean, he was the brother of the kid that got kidnapped.
That kid had a head injury. And he mentioned one other guy that had a head injury. And there were actually two or three that we talked about. They had a head injury. And then what do you think happens? Boom, the cat's personality changes. Now I see this thing the other night with you, Robert. Remember we were watching that?
Dateline on ID.
Dateline on ID. And the lady's husband was trying to kill her. And he was a guy that was pretending he was somebody he wasn't. And she thought he was a big Navy guy, and he wasn't. And the guy's lying like a sack of, you know, crap. And, you know, and then we find out at the very end of the show, after this guy has committed suicide, after almost killing her, we find out that when he was in the Navy, he'd had a head injury.
Yeah, he bumped his head on a swimming pool.
Exactly. And it was almost like after the fact that he had a head injury. So I'm not trying to say that this forgives what they do, but I am saying that if we can figure out what part of the, you know, how that affects a person's personality, man, a head injury. I mean, this is something you could maybe possibly prevent, you know. Anyway, he had a heart attack as well as an earlier head injury. I'm a good chess player. I play on the internet all the time. I used to play. I could not win a game of chess. I was depressed. I had mood swings. I didn't give it a name. It had a name, Sowell said about the voice in his head named Arnie. Sowell had told detectives and doctors that the voice told him not to go into the third floor room where police found the bodies of Talaysia Fortson and Diane Turner. Defense attorney John Parker asked if Sowell had anything to say to the victims' families. The only thing I want to say is that I'm sorry. I know that may not seem like much, and I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart. This is not typical of me. I don't know what happened. I can't explain it, but I know it's not a lot, but that's all I can give. Neuropsychologist Dr. Diana Goldstein, who testified for the prosecution, rejected any notion that Sowell suffered any cognitive disorder. Goldstein said she performed several tests to find out if Anthony Sowell was malingerer or exaggerating his symptoms to avoid prosecution. Mr. Sowell did very well in some of them and failed some of them. I didn't conclude he was malingering, but I couldn't rule it out. I just couldn't do that. She said a CAT scan of his brain following a robbery in 2008 came up clean, and he did not complain of any cognitive problems. Right. Now, this guy that they interviewed, this cop, you know who that guy is?
Yeah, the psychologist.
The Florida psychologist that they interviewed after the Casey Anthony trial, who's supposedly really good, and I don't doubt that he is. He said, listen, you got to understand something. I've been in the same room with Danny Rawling. I've been in the same room with Aileen Wuornos. I've been in the same room and interviewed some real despicable people. So, you know, please don't think that I'm some kind of a lightweight here. Well, no, we're not saying that. But he said, I gave all these tests to Casey Anthony, and I found her to have a normal personality. Now, Dr. Drew said to him, well, now, can I ask you something? Sure. He says, I understand you're a very, you know, you're a very eminent man in your field. But is it possible that this woman had a type of antisocial disorder? Meaning, is it possible she had an empathy problem? He said, well, after you asked me that question, now this is the head psychiatrist for the state of Florida. He said, after you asked me that question, I went back and I looked at my findings again because I thought only fair. And, you know, the guy's open-minded and you got to give it to him for that. He has to be. I think if you're a scientist, you have to remain open to all possibilities. He says, I went back and I looked and I said, you know something? You could be right. I think it is possible that she had an empathy problem or a lack of empathy. Now, lack of empathy is one of the symptoms. It's not one of the symptoms. It's one of the guideposts or signs of a psychopathic personality. No empathy, meaning you cannot feel other people. You don't know. You cannot know how it feels to be them. He says, I thought it was possible. So this is after the guy said, I don't see any personality disorder at all. And all Drew says to him is it possible there's some kind of an antisocial thing like empathy? He said, well, you know, on second thought, yeah.
How come he's going to get so wrong the first time?
I don't know. All I can tell you is this guy, Dr. Kopp, was a guy that was right by the book, man. This cat, he had all the tests. He had all of the, every single solitary test that there is and every single solitary reading of everything that you do, he did. And he put it into the computer. And it came out, she's cool. And then Drew says to him, well, what about this and what about that? And he says, well, I went back and looked at it. You may be right.
So how good can this guy be?
Not very good. I don't know. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour coming up, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.